Welcome back to another episode of the Macrumor Show. Good afternoon, Hartley. Big news. Big news. I was not expecting this. At least,
no, neither was I.
I don't know when I was expecting this, to be honest. iOS 18.2 dropped in beta form. So let's just preface all of our discussion right now by saying this is a beta, and that should speak for itself. But iOS 18.2 dropped, and what was significant about that is next week we'll have iOS 18.1 to the public, and that'll give you the initial Apple Intelligence features that I've been using in beta form for like 2 months now, a good amount of time. But on 18.2, we got, is it the rest of the features or like pretty darn close to everything else that's kind of missing? We got Image Playground, Genmoji, Image Wand, ChatGPT integration, visual intelligence if you have an iPhone 16 or 16 Pro. What else is missing? How much of the Siri contextual awareness is there? Is that the biggest thing?
Well, I would argue that we're still missing the big things.
What are the other big things?
I think we're missing the things that actually make Apple intelligence interesting, which is the personalized contextual awareness that you are supposed to get with Siri, and on-screen awareness as well, and the ability to tie all this stuff together. Because right now, what we effectively have are all these little tools. So we've got writing tools and Genmoji, all these little features that we've heard about for a while, visual intelligence being quite an interesting one that I've been trying out over the past 12 hours or so. So we're getting there, but there still are probably two more updates to come, iOS 18.3 and iOS 18.4, that should fill the rest of Apple Intelligence out in terms of what was originally unveiled at WWDC this year.
So, yeah, I mentioned that the Siri stuff is probably missing. I wouldn't, honestly, I didn't even know how to like check for that yesterday, because I'm like, well, what do I ask it to make it like contextually aware? I asked it, when was my next dentist appointment, which I think you could probably do. I would never ask that for some reason, but that's like a very common thing. And it brought it up, but then I was like, oh, wait, that could probably do that already, because it's just reading your calendar, right? So then you have to like, what would be good things to test that for? To like know the contextual, like, you know, in the keynote, it was like, when's my mom's flight coming in or something like that, right? And then they would follow up questions from that. I got to think of something so that when it does come, or like whenever a new beta drops, I can immediately try to test this out, because we don't usually get a list of things that are dropping in these betas. We kind of just have to go and find them for ourselves, which is fun and infuriating. I don't know. Have you had a chance to test it out? Oh, wait, you can't, right? Because it's US only, or can you try some of these?
Well, there's two answers to that question, which is previously, yes, I could, because I just set my device to US English. As of iOS 18.2, I actually have switched my device back to British English, because most English-speaking countries have their variant of English added. With iOS 18.2, so Australian English and Canadian English and British English, those are all now enabled. So people in those countries will not need to, by Christmas, update their device language. Whereas on Monday, if you're in the UK or Canada or wherever it may be outside the US, you will need to actually change your device language to US English to be able to explore Apple Intelligence.
So that's good to know. See, as someone who is in the U.S., I don't often think about those things because it came and dropped for us. So yeah, that's a good insight for those of you abroad and would like to try it out. So what are your thoughts on 18.2 then? What's your favorite thing so far that you've messed around with?
Well, I've had a chance to check out almost everything. The only thing that I haven't got is Image Playground, Image Wand, and Genmoji, because it hasn't granted me access to it yet. I've joined the waiting list.
That's right. So that's another thing.
It has not given me admission yet. I don't know if that's because I've moved back to British English. I have a slight suspicion that it is doing it for that reason, because also Tim, someone on our team who also is British and presumably has his device set to British English, also doesn't have it. But it seems like all the US Mac Rumors people do have it. So I wonder if that has something to do with it. We're being treated as second-class citizens.
Did you do it right? No, stop it. Did you do it right away?
Yeah,
did you do the request right away in the upload? In the update? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because I got granted access within like 5 minutes of requesting it. I got a notification that was like, because I thought, you know, let's peel back the curtain a little bit for those of you out there who think making YouTube videos is semi-easy. It can be at times, especially the way I got things set up. I've kind of got things in like a system. But yesterday was iPad mini release day, and I did not get an iPad mini early. So I had to go pick it up and then make a video on my first impressions while the news is fresh on the release day. I started at 10 a.m. magically somehow got that done around 1, and then got the notification that, oh, hey, by the way, 18.2 just dropped. You're going to need to do another video based on the new Apple Intelligence features. I did 2 videos, and I think I posted that one around 3. I was done by 3. I think we might have posted late on accident. So 2 videos in a span of 5 hours, 6 hours is tough mentally and physically draining. So I was really happy that they granted me access to do this right away, because I thought I was going to be waiting for a while. And so I was starting to film some of the other stuff, and then the notification popped up and I was like, all right, thank you. I can keep going down the list of things. I do not enjoy the image playground images of myself that it made. And it's mostly because I think they look bad, but in the sense of like, that's the way I look because they look like me. It's very disappointing to see that in a caricature form. Right. You're like, oh, damn, I really do kind of look like that. It does a really good job. I think they look really nice. But I'm like, oh, man, is that really how I look? Damn, that's tough. How did your images? You couldn't do it. Sorry, I'm going to do that a couple of times. My bad. I cannot wait to see what your images do look like, though. Hey guys, just want to take a quick break to let you know that this episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Turtle Beach. It's been a minute since I've done some serious gaming, but with the new Call of Duty coming out, I had to brush up on my skills and get the old squad back together for old time's sake. But one of the things I noticed was just how bad my headphones were. I felt like I could barely hear anyone coming up behind me. I couldn't really hear my friends trying to tell me what to do or if something was near me. So I finally had enough and decided to give the Stealth 700 headset a try from Turtle Beach. Their new Gen 3 Stealth 700 picks up so much crystal clear audio that I feel like I'm basically cheating. I could hear flies buzzing around me that I honestly thought that they were actually in my house and not just part of the game. You'll hear every footstep, every reload, every enemy trying to sneak up on you, and you'll be able to take them out because you know that they're coming. Not to mention that these are just so incredibly comfortable that I started to wear them for other things like listening to music too. I could wear them for hours while gaming, hours for listening to music, whatever the case might be, and my ears were never fatigued, and the battery lasts a long time. We all have that guy on our team whose headset just dies at the absolute worst times. Well, that was me. I was that guy. And now I have an insane 80 hours of battery life to work with, so I'm no longer that guy. Get the ultimate immersive gaming experience with Turtle Beach today. For a limited time only, head to turtlebeach.com and use code MAC, M-A-C, for 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your entire order at turtlebeach.com with promo code MAC. That's M-A-C, MAC. Thanks, Turtle Beach, for sponsoring this episode. So I guess I'll walk everybody through real quickly just a high-level, you know, insight into how it works. It works really well, first off. My phone was getting kind of hot. I do want to stress. And it could be just because, you know, new update immediately following that. You know, it's just a little bit warm. It's doing a bunch of things. But I kind of noticed last night when I was messing around again, it does get a little hot when you're starting to generate images in Genmoji. Specifically, those two tasks is when I noticed it the most. Actually, at one point, and again, beta, so we have to keep that in mind. But at one point, my phone just completely restarted. Like, not like the spring restart where it's a little thing and then it goes back to the lock screen. Fully turned off, fully restarted. It just had enough. I was trying to generate Genmojis of every single person in my family, which, by the way, those Genmojis look like terrifyingly realistic of my kids. It was actually kind of fun doing all of that, but it's pretty cool. So you go into either the Image Playground app, or you can do it inside of Messages. Just kind of hit that plus button and you'll see it in the list of options. For Genmoji, it's in the emoji section, top right corner of it. And you can just start typing in prompts. You can use the suggestions that Apple provides if you don't know what you want to generate. And then within like a few seconds, it'll give you a few different options and thumbs up, thumbs down if you like them, if you want new set. And that's it. And then it just gets implemented into whatever, you know, the Notes app or the Messages, whatever you're using it in. And like I said, it's pretty seamless. And I think some of the things that you can do are pretty good. Do you have any questions, Hartley, on your end about it, since you couldn't mess around with it?
Well, I suppose what I'm intrigued by is just how much the results are of good quality, because you're presented with multiple outcomes. Do you find that they are pretty consistent, or are there lots of sort of stray artifacts in some of them, and you have to be aware that, okay, this one has not been generated too well?
No, yeah, you're right. I do. So when I say it works pretty well, it's more of like a, you know, like how well the actual process goes from like creating one. But some of the prompts, depending on what you type in, that's where it's going to need some more work. So I did one, for example, of like two thumbs down. Like I wanted it to be just basically two emojis in one of like two thumbs down, some sort of different variations of that. And it didn't do it. It just gave me the normal thumbs up emoji. And then the other option was a thumbs down one. And that was really it. There was some random weird things that were happening. And then I'm like, all right, put it with me. Like I typed in Dan, and then it like kind of highlights it, and you'll see it says person. And then you can select, by the way, kind of peeling this back a little bit even more, you can select when you tap the person, you can select different images for the Genmoji and for the Image Playground references to be used off of. So you can go in your photo library and
so
pull different photos of yourself.
So it's not using the Photos app understanding of people.
It is. But it like gives you different pictures of what like it pulls from the Photos app.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense. It's okay. Good that it's doing that, because I was concerned that I would have to actually go into Photos and tell it what I wanted it to use.
No, and it even pulls up a list of people. So for me, it pulled up everybody in my family, you know, immediately right there. And then it gives, and it bases a bunch of different, you know, it pulls from a different bunch of different pictures of that person. And so you can go ahead and adjust that, or you can go find one specifically in the Photos app that you might want that it didn't already auto-populate with. So then once you do that, you know, I typed in Dan with two thumbs down, and that it did a pretty good job of. There were a couple of bad ones, but eventually in that set that it gives you like three or four, there was one that had me given, you know, the thumbs down. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of hit or miss with the prompts, but overall, as a whole, especially in the first beta of it, I think it's working pretty well. Do I stand by my thing last week where I said this was going to be like a major feature that everybody's going to use? I don't know. I'm not saying no, and I'm not saying, oh, okay, I still stand behind it 100%. I can see kids and younger people still thinking that this is like really cool. I had a lot of fun with it. Am I going to use it all the time? I don't know. It was fun and fresh and exciting because it just happened to be new at the time. So talk to me next week and ask me how many Genmojis I've created.
I guess once you've created one or two that you may want for specific instances, you may continue to use them. But I think that the chances of actually using Genmoji in terms of creating a new emoji on a weekly basis even are probably quite unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I don't think you're going to be making a whole bunch on a daily or weekly basis. But the good news is when you find ones that you do like, they automatically get added to your library. So you just can go and choose from those. And also, I did some research, aka I sent some to a person that I know that has an Android phone, and I asked them to send me a screenshot of what this looks like back to me, because I was very curious of what Image Playground images and what Genmojis look like, and they look exactly the same. So cool. Kudos to Apple for making that work across different platforms. I don't know if that was maybe because of RCS pulling some of the legwork, because this person did have RCS on. So I guess I can try again with an SMS conversation, but at least in RCS, it looked exactly the same. And that guy also said that it was terrifying for the images that I sent him of myself driving a car or riding a skateboard, which I don't disagree with him. It was pretty uncanny. So yeah, that's the generative image portion of iOS 18.2. Hartley's got nothing.
Okay.
Hartley's got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a part of the update that intrigues me, and I don't want to be too much of a downer on the rest of it, because I was not.
People have been calling you out for being a downer lately.
I can't help it, and this is not going to help, because I have not been that impressed with the ChatGPT integration. And
okay,
the
so that's something that you have tried. So let's enough talking from my end. Let's hear you. People want to hear you more, anyways. Let's hear what you got to say about those things.
So now ChatGPT is integrated directly in Siri. You can initially you will be prompted when a request is going to get fed to ChatGPT, but you can in settings turn this off so that you don't get prompted every time. Which I have done. You can also sign into a ChatGPT account if you have one. And this means that you can use the more advanced models more regularly. And this all sounds good. And it's better that it's there, definitely. But I think what has sort of surprised me about it is it's just easier to use ChatGPT itself than go through Siri.
I mean, if you know that you want to use ChatGPT in the first place, then yeah, just go right to it. But the point of it is so that if you ask something to Siri that you know off the top of your head that you're thinking of, or you want it to do something and it can't, then it conveniently does ask ChatGPT for you. I think that's like the major portion of that whole part, right? Or am I off base there?
Yes. I just don't know if I love the way that it's been implemented. So I don't love the way that it will provide the response and then say, that's from ChatGPT. it feels like it adds a lot of friction. And it's unable to switch out of that mode easily. So it's not conversational. Because if I ask it to do something and it sends that request to ChatGPT, and then I ask it about what's coming up in my calendar today, it can't do that. It then is using ChatGPT, and ChatGPT says, I don't have access to your calendar.
I guess I haven't done a bunch of like follow-ups like that, yeah, where it's immediately stuck on it.
Anything else, it can't. And that's quite annoying. And I just sort of feel that it isn't particularly cohesive. And I know that this is early days, because we will get there eventually when Siri has the personalized context. But so far, I have actually just found it kind of infuriating, because Siri is still so limited, incredibly limited, and it has still been unable to fulfill even basic requests. I am still having difficulty with basic HomeKit requests, and even when I was asking it to pull up my calendar for tomorrow, I had to watch that I was phrasing it in very specific ways to actually get it to do that. Because with slight variations, it's still not completing that basic command. And that is so frustrating, because I really hope that it would have done that by now. And I also would have hoped that it would begin moving information to ChatGPT as I needed it to. But it is currently not able to do that. So if I say to it, I have this appointment at this location tomorrow, from a command with my calendar, I can't then ask ChatGPT, well, what are the opening times for that location? They would have to be separate requests. And it just feels, I suppose what I'm trying to say is that it feels like ChatGPT is just so far and away better than Siri. And so Siri is just kind of annoying me when I'm actually going to use this feature. And I just want to use ChatGPT by itself, because Siri is just not useful.
I guess so. I guess I can understand that. I would imagine that the reason why it's, you know, if you want it to move all that personal stuff to ChatGPT, I don't think Apple's going to want to do that. That's kind of the whole point of like the privacy aspect.
But it should be able to do that eventually. And so,
or at least give you the option, like allow you to say that you want them to do that.
That is supposed to be the key selling point with Apple Intelligence, is the ability to sort of pass information through these different systems. So whether that be on-screen awareness, whether that be to take actions on things in apps, while also integrating with Siri itself and ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And it moves things between these different areas of the device. But it is just really, I suppose, highlighting the inadequacies of Siri to me right now. And where I have been experimenting with asking it more unusual requests, it's just nowhere near as good as ChatGPT. And I would go as far as to say, even hearing ChatGPT's responses through the voice version of Siri are significantly worse than the voice version of ChatGPT. Significantly worse. So if I want to have a conversation with ChatGPT, which very occasionally I might do if I'm trying to brainstorm something and I want to talk through an idea, I would still go to ChatGPT for that directly. And I wondered if I might use Siri, but it just feels clunky and odd that it's telling me that the request came through ChatGPT and it doesn't sound that great with the way that Siri's pronunciation works. It just doesn't seem to hold the threaded conversation anywhere near as well. It's surprisingly worse than just using ChatGPT by itself, at least in my experience so far. And I do understand this is early, but what we have to remember with this is it's a balancing act, right? Because on the one hand, you could rightly say to me, it is going to be a while before this is finished, so give it a fair chance, understand that this is not there yet. But on the other hand, a lot of people have bought iPhone 16s now because Apple has heavily advertised that these are Apple Intelligence devices now. They are built for Apple Intelligence. They've made the cube all lit up in the Apple Intelligence colors. Every ad you see for the iPhone 16 is so Apple Intelligence heavy. And they are rolling these features out bit by bit. So people are going to use, ordinary people are going to use this version of Siri with ChatGPT in 18.2. So even though this is a beta version now, ordinary people are going to use this exact version, this exact way that it is supposed to work as well. So I understand that there is more coming later, but it is not, it's not quite there yet. And I kind of wish they would have held off until it was ready. And it feels like they're just rushing.
Well, and I know you know this, to be fair, I think the other features that will be coming out next week are pretty good and they're ready. But the 18.2 one, that is still a beta. And how long did it take for the 18.1 features to roll out? When did that officially get released? Was that September?
Maybe about 2 months.
Yeah, so it's been a couple of months. I think this is going to be, I would feel like this would be a little longer, right? I think this might take a little bit more time.
And even if it does, that's fine and understandable. I suppose what I just find a little bit disappointing is that these features and this new version of Siri, the way that it is being broken down and released slowly, I don't think is great for the image of Apple Intelligence, because on Monday, there are going to be people with iPhone 15 Pros that are going to think, oh, I've got Apple Intelligence now. I've got the new version of Siri. Look, it lights up in the new way. And they are going to find that they actually have the exact same version of Siri that they've always had.
Mm-hmm.
And that is misleading. Then they are going to think, this isn't great. What is the fuss here?
It does light up in that cool new way, though.
Yeah, and that's it, pretty much. Well, the only other Siri feature that you get in iOS 18.1 is that you can ask questions about Apple devices, which is quite cool because it's leveraging all of the Apple support documents. But I just don't know if releasing things in this way, particularly with Siri, is really makes a lot of sense, because it's not really clear what it can and can't do. I mean, even you and I at the start of this conversation were not entirely clear on how we can test its current capabilities. And if we in the tech community are confused about that, how is an ordinary user going to feel? They are just going to feel like, so I bought this new iPhone 16 and now Siri is glowy and different, but it's the same.
Yeah, there needs to be like a full breakdown from Apple of like, here's everything new from Siri. I would make that video right now for everybody if I knew what was new in Siri. Because like you said, I'm only going off of the things that they showed us at the event. And I didn't even get the briefing for Siri. I got briefings for everything else. What would have been the most useful thing would have been to hear more information about Siri. And I don't even know how much more new things they even really talked about aside from what was at the event. And this was back at WWDC. So it's been months. Yeah, I mean, I'm remaining optimistic because I do really like some of these features. And I do think they work well. And I think somebody is going to find these incredibly useful. I think ChatGPT integrated into notes where you can type in prompts and stuff is super useful. Having that baked into these documents and or these editors and being able to, you know, have ChatGPT at your disposal without having to go into the app or the website, I think that's pretty helpful. The on-screen thing, I tested that yesterday. Where I said, what am I looking at? And it gave me, went to ChatGPT and it gave me a full breakdown of, what did I have up? Some random, like, you know, a PopSocket. There was like another company that makes something similar. And it gave me like a full breakdown of the company and what they make. I don't care, but I mean, that could be useful for something else. You're looking at something on screen, maybe, I don't know, an image of something that you're like, what is that? I don't know what that car is or something. Maybe ChatGPT can help you out. There could be some really helpful things there where you don't have to really move, you know, your fingers, so to speak, to go to another app or service and have to Google something. So I do have one question. If Apple was so like in love with this idea and everybody was moving into the AI space and we saw companies and Apple was like, all right, we're going to do the same thing. And it's been a while. Are you surprised that they just didn't buy one of these companies like ChatGPT? I mean, they probably could have just purchased them and have had full control over this. No? Or was it too far gone because it was too many people in the public that have had this?
It was probably too far gone at that time. I mean, Apple could have made a lot of very interesting acquisitions over the years. It could have acquired Tesla years ago, very inexpensively, comparatively. And then it could have operated it just like how it operates Beats. Or it could have absorbed it and offered its own version of the Apple car and not had any of the issues that it subsequently encountered with that project leading up to its cancellation. So I think Apple is reluctant to acquire bigger companies, and it's pretty clear that Apple is behind with AI. I mean, we heard over the weekend that internally, yeah, supposedly Apple's executives see Apple as 2 years behind the likes of Google, OpenAI, and Meta with AI technology. Yeah. So it's not really too surprising. I just find the rollout of Apple, I find all of Apple intelligence to be underwhelming. And not because I don't want these features, but because there is something about the way that this has all been marketed and rolled out that feels incredibly rushed. And actually, if we're being really honest, not particularly life-changing. So it will be later.
It's only just Siri, really. That's going to be the thing that could potentially be life-changing. I don't think any of these other features are
But let's say that the ability to take action across apps and understand contextual awareness is not available until iOS 18.4. That might be April, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By then, we're well on the way to iPhone 17, and iOS 19 will be unveiled at WWDC next year. So I find the whole way that the iPhone 16 lineup has been marketed for Apple Intelligence, I find the way that, as I say, the new version of Siri, as of Monday, it's going to look different, it's going to feel flashy and new, but functionally, it is not different. I find all of this quite disingenuous, and I think that a lot of it is marketing spiel, but the reality is what you have on Monday is writing tools.
No, no. Do not undermine what I think is truly a life-changing feature. And that...
Notification summaries?
Yes, that is the most life-changing feature, in my opinion. I don't know that I could go back without it.
They are really good, but sometimes it's annoying. Simple.
Sometimes it's annoying. Because what it does, have you noticed this, by the way? And then you can go back on your rant on hating my favorite feature. One of the things I've noticed that does bother me is if you don't check like a group chat for a while, or I feel like it even does this even if you've read something. But I think it's like if you had a notification from something, it goes and like adds in your response to the summary notification. So like you look at it and it's like, this happened, and this happened. And one of the this happens is something that you wrote and you think that this other person sent it. But it's like, no, that's what I sent in the message beforehand. Why are you summarizing? I have, where it's like it's been confusing and it's been summarizing past. Oh, no, maybe it's more of like it's summarizing past notifications with new ones and adding them in like the same sentence as if those two things are related and they're not necessarily related. So that's where I'm having some issues. I don't know if that makes sense, but somebody out there is listening to this who's used it and they're like, yes, I know exactly what you mean. And so for that person, we're on the same wavelength. But otherwise, I don't know that I could have regular notifications without a summary. It's so helpful to just see.
It is useful, and I have enjoyed it. I find it quite funny when, because obviously it doesn't actually really understand humor. So if people send like jokey messages, it summarizes them completely seriously. Yeah. And the way it does that itself is quite funny. Like I found myself screenshotting the notification summaries and just sending those to people to see how their own messages were interpreted in quite a funny way. But
like if somebody says I'm dead, it like literally says like Dan is dead and you're like, wait, what?
Yes.
Like that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about sometimes where it like, and it'll add that to like, you know, another part of the notification that it's summarizing and you're like, how does that make any sense? What is happening in this conversation? But I find it useful. Yeah.
It is useful. I guess what I'm just saying is if I was an average user and I had bought an iPhone 16 because of Apple Intelligence and then I'd read some headline saying, oh, iOS 18.1, Apple Intelligence now available, I'd think, oh, what have I got for this $1,000 device that I've just upgraded to? I've got notification summaries and writing tools.
Is there anything else? I'm trying to think. That's probably a bad sign if I have to think about it.
There are other features, but they're relatively small. You also get things like the cleanup tool in Photos, which I've been enjoying using.
That actually has, I feel like it's gotten better, or maybe I'm just using it on things where it makes more sense, but I've used it in some scenarios like removing reflections from a window, and it's actually worked out really well.
So that's why I don't want to be misunderstood about this. I like almost all of these features. I even like what is happening with Siri. My issue with it is the way that this has been stylized and packaged up and the way that it's been rolled out. And I almost would have preferred, in a way, for Apple to announce Apple Intelligence at WWDC as it did, but then just simply say Apple Intelligence is coming at a later date as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And be more truthful about that. And then it would have been less confusing for users. These features could have been more polished and finished. But it just feels so messy to me. It's even like the system requirements for Apple Intelligence being 8 gigabytes of memory, you need like an M-series chip or you need an A17 Pro or higher. But you get notification summaries on the Apple Watch, which don't have any of those specifications. So notification summaries, are they an Apple Intelligence feature or are they not? Because they don't meet your minimum requirements and it's available on a device that doesn't support Apple Intelligence. Other machine learning type stuff, like say sleep apnea detection, that is effectively machine learning, an AI, what is going on there. But we're not calling that Apple Intelligence. But we're calling this other stuff Apple Intelligence. And so even like predictive text, that is effectively similar algorithms. But we don't call that Apple Intelligence because if we did, so much stuff in the system would be called that. So why can't we just let it be in the system? Why do we have to have everything be arbitrarily glowing to make us feel like something is shiny and new? It just feels rushed to me. It doesn't feel like an Apple thing. This feels like a Google type thing to me. And it just, hey, none of it strikes me as the way that Apple should behave. It's not bad. I'm not saying anything is bad. It's just not Apple-like behavior.
I agree.
Having said that, I will say something positive, which is I think I quite like Visual Intelligence.
I was just about to ask you real quick, what do you think about Visual Intelligence? I don't know that I like it because what I tried didn't work out very well, but like if the things that they showcased at the event, or when they announced that feature, that seems useful and it is easy enough to get to it. So I think it'll be fine. But like, I just went outside and took a picture of a very famous building that's right outside of my window. And it just gave me Google image searches of that building. Like it recognized it, but it didn't tell me what it was. It was just like a reverse image search basically. And then I asked ChatGPT at the time, I didn't have that turned on. So I'll have to try again. But like I wanted to see like a card style, you know, where it's like the building is a location that people go to for a tourist attraction. So like pull it up in Maps and give me that kind of info. And it didn't do any of that. So I'm a little confused. I need to test it more. I was just trying to get the video out. So I wanted to just get it tested at least once. But we'll have to do some more on it. But yeah.
It definitely needs to be able to do more. But occasionally, where I've been trying it today, it has worked quite well. So, for example, I took a picture of a letter I received on a physical piece of paper. And it provided me with options such as, do I want to call the number on the letter? Do I want to email the email address? It also offered a summary of the entire letter. And it also offered to read the letter to me. That is all quite useful. Where I think it could be more useful is actually taking action based on that. So if I want it to read the summary aloud to me and then let me make it, the audio louder, I can't. So it's actually, right. If your audio is already set low, it won't let you do it. I mean, I'm sure that's beta stuff. But I want to be able to say to it, okay, so pull up an email reply that is going to respond in this way and that way in accordance with what I actually want to respond. It can't
like
do
being
that.
Able to send
it
that
can literally
summary
just say,
would be nice.
Here is the email address.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and likewise, I found it useful. Say if I've like scanned the back of a cereal box for the nutritional information, and I said to it, how healthy is this cereal? It is able to actually provide a succinct answer to that. That stuff is quite cool. I quite like that.
Yeah.
I just want it to... what I'd like, for example, say with that cereal is if for me to say, okay, I've had a serving of this cereal, import that information, that nutritional information into Apple Health for me. That's the kind of thing it just can't do yet.
Well...
Eventually, it probably will.
Will it ever do that?
But...
You think so?
It should when it can take action across different apps. But... I guess this comes back to what I was saying before, where the danger to me of introducing these features in this way are that you get people using them, being a little bit disappointed or underwhelmed by them, and then they just won't go back and use them. They don't make
it
habit.
Never using it again.
Because you're not blown away by it. And I think, unfortunately, Apple has a tendency as a company to debut software, which then just gets neglected. I mean, think of how many Apple Watch faces have not been updated over the years. How many, very few watch faces support the Apple Watch Series 10's refresh rate, which is crazy if you think about it. Likewise, say on the Apple Watch, the walkie-talkie app, it barely functions anymore. That app has basically never had an update since it was debuted. And so there's plenty of, I think we can all point to apps across all of Apple's devices that we can say, this has just been left behind. And so I really hope that some of this stuff does not just get left where it is. Visual Intelligence needs to keep growing. And it needs to get a lot better quite fast. Otherwise, I'm just probably not going to use it. I'll probably forget about it. And I think a lot of people work in the same way. I think especially ordinary users, like if I show maybe some of my friends or my family who are not as into tech as I am, a new feature or something they didn't know, unless that feature blows them away in that second, unless it's really easy to use and it works really well, they won't go back to it. People, ordinary people don't have time for unfinished stuff.
True. I feel like sometimes I fall into that too, where it's like, this doesn't work the way I want it to, or wasn't that cool. I try it once and then you just don't try it again. And I think I'm an ordinary person, but I guess when it comes to tech stuff, we're probably not considered that. So if I'm having a hard time, I can't imagine, you know, my brother who likes tech stuff, but he doesn't follow it or care as much as most people. So even he will find some features that, like, I feel like he should know and he just doesn't. And it's like, how did I not know you can do all of these things? And it's like, well, you know, you just kind of have to look for it, which is true for some things, but you shouldn't have to. And Apple should do a better job of marketing some of these really cool features and not just the ones that have the glowing effect around it that are not finished yet. We need to work on that one still a little bit more. We'll have more on the rest of the update as, you know, we get more features introduced. But next week, if you are in the areas where 18.1 will be available, try it out and then let us know in the comments down below, like what you think of all of the Apple Intelligence features and everything, or hit us up on social media. And with that, unless Hartley has anything else left to say, we will catch everyone in the next episode.